Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. I'm setting a timer today because we don't have a clock up yet, and also because I wrote this at about 3 o'clock this morning. I had a whole other sermon ready to go, and I realized it was not today's sermon, so I'm a month ahead for next month. But so to keep myself from rambling too much, I'm going to set an alarm. Not an alarm, but a stop clock. All right, here we go. I'm Reverend Krista Erickson. If you don't know me, thank you all so much for being here today. It really means the world to me. Whether you're here in person for the first time, the 100th time, the second time, the third time, or online, I appreciate it. So, why do we come to church? What's the point of being here? What brought you up the stairs? You know, I've been thinking this a lot lately with all the change going on. Like, why? What is it about church? And for me, and maybe for some of you, it's not really about the learning, because there are so many books out there that you can learn from. If you want to know the Bible, read the Bible. If you want to know Science of Mind, read the Science of Mind. If you want to know Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, read their books. Listen to a podcast. Watch a documentary. There's so many options out there for us to learn. So coming here isn't really about learning, right? It's about community. It's about coming together. Because yes, while I hope that you do learn something while you're here, this isn't your only avenue of learning, but it is the only avenue to learn in community with like-minded people. And that's what makes this spiritual center so important for all of us, I think, I hope, right? So I have a question for you, and I want to see a raise of hands. Who here considers themselves to be a law-abiding citizen? Or non-citizen, Manya? Law-abiding citizen. Okay. Hopefully everybody. If you didn't raise your hand, I need to hear a story later. Okay, now I have another question that I want an answer to. Who here has rolled through a stop sign when you didn't think anybody was around? Or just not stopped at all, right? So, you think you're law-abiding, but when nobody's watching, you're not abiding by the law. The same thing happens with spiritual law, too. Right, so we come here to learn spiritual law, that there's one God, one divine presence, one thing back of all things. No matter, you know, it's like, one of the things that I loved, because, you know, I studied a lot of religions, including some, you know, some religions with multiple deities in it. But my question was always, well, who created them? Like, you know, every day, if you ask yourself, well, who created that and who created that and who created that, eventually you have to get to one thing. And we call that one thing God. And we don't pretend to even really understand what that thing is. God is just the word that, you know, society has deemed appropriate to describe it, because how else do you describe something that created everything? And part of God is the spiritual laws, which is that there's love, there's abundance, there is no limit to anything. In fact, there is a quote that I want to read. This is from Reverend Linda Martella Whitsett in the book How to Pray Without Talking to God, which I've recently read because of Teresa's prayer class. And in fact, the meditation I did, that was from her book as well. It wasn't meant as a meditation, but I loved it so much, I just kind of felt it needed to be said. But anyway, so she says, in the same way that we mature humanly by realizing increasingly our human capabilities, we mature spiritually by expressing increasingly our divine nature. So Charles Fillmore taught, it is your mission to express all that you can imagine God to be. Let this be your standard of achievement. Never lower it, nor allow yourself to be belittled or by the cry of sacrilege. You can attain to everything you can imagine. If you can imagine that it is possible to God, it is also possible to you, because we are created in divine image. We get to practice that here in community. It's hard when you go out into the real world sometimes, It's hard when you're going to the grocery store and you're stuck behind like the what seemed like the shortest line, but ends up being the longest line. I have a knack for that. Like that is my, if I have a special talent, that's my special talent. I always pick the slowest line. But you know what? It's given me a lot of opportunity to practice patience, let me tell you. But here, when we're with like-minded people who believe in the same thing, we get to remind each other how good we are. We get to remind each other how loved we are, how important we are, how useful we are. Out there, it's another story. And that's why coming here is so important. Because we get to lift each other up and uphold each other to our highest selves. It's really difficult to come here in this space and to complain about something. It happens. I've done it. Trust me. I know. But there's always somebody that says, yes, but look at how far we've come. But look at what we've done. Look at what we've learned. Look at what we've been taught. No matter how, you know, like this past week, it was really, it was something else here. It looks great today, but on Tuesday we had ceiling tiles falling down from the rain and water was leaking out of the light fixtures. And it was, and the city has suddenly decided that they're no longer going to pick up our trash on the side of the street unless it's in a bin. And we've never used a bin. For years, we've never used a bin. We just put our bags outside and they take it, and not anymore. So it was just one of those weeks where it seemed like every time we took a step forward, it was like three steps back. And it was like, come on, God, what's going on? But you know what happened? I called Manya. We called Betsy. Teresa was a part of it. We banded together and we got it taken care of. In the rain, me and Teresa and Manya and Tim, we were carrying trash bags to the dumpster out back. Don't tell Ford. And the Goodwill. That's right. Yes, we shared the wealth of trash. But we didn't leave it on the street. But you know, but that's part of the community, right? It's going through the good and the bad together. And I came in here today and the ceiling looks great. The lights have been cleaned out. We have ceiling tiles. We're not dripping water anymore. There have been improvements made. And it's just one more step forward into like the growth of our spiritual center, right? We're all having growing pains throughout life. And I think this building is having some growing pains right now too, but we're helping her along. So community keeps us honest and it keeps us on the right path, because when I've started to complain, like I said, there's always somebody that says, well, stop it. Let's look for the silver lining. Let's look for the bright side. And that's what doing the work is. Who's heard that term before? You got to do the work, right? Yeah. Who knows what the work is? Got two and a half hands, maybe three and a half. My mentor, the woman who brought me into this religion, Reverend Ana Maria Lopez, oh, that dear woman, I don't know how she ever put up with me. I would sit with her and I would cry and complain and whine, and she'd say, Krista, you're not doing the work. And I would say, Ana, what is the work? She said, I don't know. I can't tell you that. You have to figure that out on your own. And oh, that made me so mad. I hated that answer. I had to actually figure it out, but that's the work. Figuring it out for yourself is the work. Because the work is doing whatever it is that you personally have to do to be a better person. For some people, that may be something as simple as taking a breath when you're feeling overwhelmed. I've been doing that a lot lately. It could be finding the silver lining in a situation instead of ruminating on the bad. It could be creating healthy boundaries with somebody who's not feeding your soul the way that they should be. The work is internal. All spiritual work is internal. It's something that we have to do for ourselves. It doesn't matter how many sermons you listen to or books that you read, you have to be able to actually apply what you're learning to your life. If you want to express your divinity, you have to live your faith. You know, there's the term Sunday Christians. I grew up as a Sunday Christian. Went to church every Sunday. My mom was even a Sunday school teacher. Went to all the, you know, like the summer camps and all the holiday things. But at home, we never prayed at home. We didn't pray over dinner. We didn't even talk about God over dinner. In fact, at this point, I'm the only person in my family with any religious affiliation whatsoever. They've all just kind of given it up for their own various reasons. But that translates to us too. Are you coming here just listening to the sermon and then going about your day without actually applying the principles that we teach here at Unity? Because if you are, then you're not doing the work. If you walk out these doors and you're not seeing love all around you, you're not doing the work. If you walk out these doors and you're yelling at service workers or you're honking at slow drivers, or you're not doing the work. If you're not practicing the presence, you're not doing the work. The work is the most important part of a spiritual path. And we, as community, get to do this together. A.W. Tozer, I don't know if I'm saying that last name correctly. He's a Christian pastor from the early 1900s, and he wrote, "We cannot pray in love and live in hate and still think that we are worshiping God." Isn't it great? No, I love it. We cannot pray in love and live in hate and still think we are worshiping God. Isn't that powerful? That's doing the work. So, another quote I want to share is Ralph Waldo Trine. This is not Ralph Waldo Emerson. Trine came about 60 years after Emerson. And he says, "To get up each morning with the resolve to be happy is to condition the circumstance instead of being conditioned by them." So we can condition the circumstance instead of being conditioned by the circumstances. That is also doing the work. So I know when I walk through this door, whether it's Sunday morning or Tuesday or Saturday or whenever, I come in gratitude. I don't always come and enjoy. That would be a lie for me to say that, especially after this week. But I always come in gratitude. And it's not just the space that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for all of you. Because this space wouldn't be here without all of you. It would be me at home reading my bookcase full of spiritual books, which would feed me intellectually, but it wouldn't feed my soul. You feed my soul. Community feeds my soul. And I hope it feeds yours as well. I hope that's part of why you're here. Because we create a safe space for that. We come here to be reminded of our oneness of God so that we can continue to do the work that we must do. And eventually, when you get to the point that it's not so hard to do the work for yourself, then we can do it for others. Sean actually reminded me of something really important this week that I needed to hear. He said, you know, not everything has to come from you. It can come through you. Meaning that sometimes we don't have to do everything. Sometimes we are just the avenue for something to happen through. Sometimes just putting an idea out there allows somebody else to step in and to actually do the doing. And that works with us as well. So in Hebrew, the book of Hebrew 10, this is 24 through 25, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." There's some shade being thrown there. "But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deed and encouraging one another." That's doing the work. That's coming together as a community. That's what community means. It's not just sitting in the chairs and listening. It's actually helping each other out. Whether that's spiritually, mentally, physically. It is shocking what a hug can do, right? That's one of my favorite parts of service, is we get to hug and say good morning, happy Sunday, how are you? Something as little as that could mean the world to somebody. It can change somebody's total week. Being recognized as a divine being. Being looked at and held in love and respect can absolutely change somebody's mindset. It can change somebody's life. It's those simple acts. That's the work. So I'm just so happy that we get to come here and be together in community here in Unity. Thank you, Michael, for that. He actually told me about that. If you look at the title, it's the C-O-M-M in little case and Unity in big. Because you can't have community without unity. And that has really, really shown these last few weeks. I feel like we have come together so well. And look at what we've done. And there's still more work to be done, and we're going to continue to do it, and we are going to continue to thrive together because we are unity. Thank you so much for being here today and for uplifting me. I appreciate all of you. So it is.